Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening, smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
And now,
it's time for
Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast.
Welcome back to Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast.
You're Mike Sweeney, and I'm Jesse Gaskell.
Yes.
And we are writers for Conan.
Yes.
And his various pursuits.
Right. And what is this? Season 9 of Inside Conan. And we're just looking at Conan on the road.
Yeah, Conan outside the studio. Conan left the studio, right. And
even commuting home after work. we're here to report it.
But we're covering remotes, we're covering travel shows.
Uh-huh.
And speaking of travel shows.
Yes, Jesse.
Thanks for setting me up. This is really good timing that we're covering this stuff because it was announced at the Max upfronts that Conan is doing more travel shows.
Right. Yes.
And we've been working on them.
We have. We haven't been able to talk about
it. We haven't, and we've been dying. We just keep having to make small talk.
Oh, my God.
Act like we care about the birds in our backyard.
Yes. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. We just got back, actually, from a trip to Thailand.
We were in Thailand. Mm-hmm. We had a historic heat wave when we were there.
Right. Historic by Thailand's standards, which it already is super hot, but
it's hot and humid, and it was like 108 degrees.
Right, with the humidity.
Yes.
With the humidity index.
So we were out there just completely drenched all day, and we were making Conan do these really physical things.
Torturing him.
Yes.
Right.
And it was, it was hard. The shoots were hard.
But yeah. But he was a trooper.
He was a trooper.
And we tried to, some of the more physical things, we tried to spread them out, like not have them three different things in one day.
And we'd book a Thai massage for him.
That's right.
Which we actually did as a shoot.
Yeah. But then he loved it so much, he went back.
We left him there.
We did. We went and got
lunch. We left him there and went to lunch.
And
yeah.
He met us later. So we know how to keep him happy.
So it'll be fun for everyone to get to see what we did, and we'll talk more about it.
Yes.
As the weeks go on.
Uh-huh. And we also went, prior to that, we went to Norway.
Yes, we also went to Norway.
Where it was very snowy. It was still quite wintry there.
It was a complete 180 from Thailand. Mm-hmm.
And I learned how to accept cod into my life
We had an all-cod diet.
I had all-cod dreams, imagery. It was just cod.
Cod. Cod pillow.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of travel shows, today we have two fantastic guests from two of our past travel shows.
Yeah, and this is really interesting. We're talking to two fixers, and we get a lot of questions about what a fixer is and what they do. These are people that are so instrumental to these travel shows. They're local producers that we hire to they do everything from pulling permits to booking all of our ground transportation and
people that we talk to
and
making recommendations
they have local knowledge and they can also say, oh, well, that's only tourists do the troll tour.
Right.
Or they direct us away from something that might be offensive.
Yes.
And it's really helpful to have.
They're great sounding boards yes. for us.
So today we have two of our favorite fixers joining us at Meeting of the Minds. And we're talking about two great travel shows. Here's Lady May, our fixer from Ghana, and Maritza Carbajal, our fixer from Mexico.
Well, this is an exciting day here.
Yeah.
Finally, an exciting day on Inside Coded.
I know, I've never seen you excited before.
Well, I'm excited to see two old friends.
Yes. We're here with two of our favorite fixers that we worked with on Coded Without Borders shows. We're here with Maritza Carbajal.
Yes.
And Lady May.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome.
And welcome.
Thank you.
Hi.
And you two have never met, right?
No. Nice meeting
no.
you.
No.
If this goes
nice
well, you.
Nice to meet you.
Maybe you two will become friends or bitter enemies. There's no in between. We should explain what a fixer is.
We should. And I don't even totally know. I mean, it's a lot of things.
How would you describe your job, Maritza?
For me, I think. Lately, it's been more referred as a local producer and kind of like makes sense. It's like they call us fixers or local producers or stringers. And it's about coordinating a shoot from another country that is coming to your country or the country where you work.
In your case, Mexico.
In my case, Mexico. Exactly. And making all the arrangements and permits and locations
right.
and stories and... And yeah, getting all the production organized logistically to work for the ideas that the production yeah. is coming with.
From other
exactly.
countries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. That's it.
And also coming up with, I mean, solutions to problems that arise when the shoots are happening. And you just do so many different things. It's like you're constantly having
yes.
to. Yeah.
So, yeah, we're like the ground, like people. We know the land. So mm-hmm. it's pretty much like anything that happens, we have to fix it yeah. on
right.
the ground.
Right. And you must,
yeah.
It must feel like you're dealing with a lot of these people who come from other countries. They're almost like helpless children, probably like, because they don't know all
the
local customs, yeah. language, and just the ins and outs. And they really become so reliant on you for everything.
Yeah.
Literally.
For everything.
Yeah, like where's the bathroom?
Right,
take me
right.
to the bathroom.
yeah.
yes.
Everything, yeah.
Yep.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And also, like, for example, a place like Ghana where it's very highly traditional, you know, we just have to kind of like make sure, you know, like some of the rules or what to do, what not to do, like kind of what Calibus mentioned,
yeah.
you know, like you... Don't do some hand gestures and stuff. So we kind of like tell the crew or the whole team before you even get on the ground, like, okay, maybe avoid this. Or like when we were going to the Queen Mother, like, don't wear this, that kind of stuff.
Right.
So we
right.
are pretty much supposed to guide you.
To make sure no incidents, international incidents occur.
Right.
No. Right. right.
Yeah. And so Maritza, were you familiar with Conan at all before we came to do Conan Made in Mexico?
Actually, it's very funny that you asked. No,
that's, thank you
for not lying.
Yeah, I don't lie. I'm very bad at it. But I remember like a lot of, the thing is Lady May might relate, and maybe a lot of you may relate, that we that work in the industry, we a lot of the times we don't have the time to watch TV
right.
or
yes.
like
right.
entertain
fun, yeah.
ourselves in the way that like people watches the things that we do.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember receiving the email from Chalamet asking me if I would be interested in doing this. And
that's Jason Chalamet, our
yes,
yeah,
he's
exactly.
our producer.
And I have my geek TV friend that I always consult in these cases.
To ask like, is this a good show or not?
And I'm like, dude.
Who's Chalamet?
yeah.
What show does he host?
I just got contacted by these people, Conan O'Brien. Mm-hmm. He's like, do it. Say yes immediately. And basically I said yes immediately.
Oh, good. Yeah.
yeah. So I have my friend
well,
Hector.
We have him to thank.
To
yeah.
thank for it. Yes.
What about you, Lady May? Had you seen any Conan before?
I'm a huge Conan fan.
Oh, okay.
So I actually pitched
right.
to yeah, to come to Ghana because it was the year of return.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And and I was working really closely with the Ghana embassy and the Ghana ambassador. So I emailed the Conan team pretty much almost every email I could find.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason replied and he was like, you know, we may be interested, but then you guys were going to Australia.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I didn't hear from you for like a minute. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this needs to happen. And then he's like, yes, we think we're going to come. And I was like, I'm a huge Conan fan, like seriously. So yeah,
oh, wow.
It was a huge deal for my family.
But that's a great story. Cause you know, it was someone you were a fan of and you were like, I'm just going to ask, I'm going to send the email and I'm going to tell them that this should happen. And it worked.
Yeah.
I love you drummed up your own business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
and then Jason is like, cause that was the first time I was locally producing actually.
Really?
And Jason is like, do you know any local producers? I'm like, do I know? Yeah. You think I'm going to give this opportunity to someone else?
That is so great. No. That is so smart.
Yeah.
I always tell people in show business, like, yeah, you just say yes that you do it, you know,
yes.
Like
right,
just, and then you figure it out.
Right, right.
Exactly. So that's what I was like, yeah, I can do this. Yeah. No,
it's kind of like that with every job.
Right.
Like, there's so many jobs, like the food industry. They're right. Like, do you have experience? And like our son was looking for, you know, just like a waitering job when he moved to New York and, and he had to just lie eventually.
Right.
And
Pick it up on the job. Yeah. That's pretty terrifying though, for that to be your first gig.
Oh my
officially.
Gosh. It was kind of scary. Yeah. But I mean, your team is so great to work with seriously. Cause I don't do producer work, but I curate like experiences in Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like the first team. And I kept telling like Ruthie and even Jason on the ground, like, you guys are great because it was like serious work, but not serious work, you know? So you made it
right.
Seamless.
Well, that's
Jason
nice
and Ruthie. They both keep it fun the whole time.
I know. They have really good attitudes.
A lot of times I'll run up to Jason and I'm just, you know, really tense or stressed about something. And he's just so calm and cool. I relax.
Mm-hmm.
10%.
Yeah. Yeah. Stressful was the Conan process in Mexico, Maritza? I mean, did you feel like, okay, it was a normal amount of last minute requests or... How did it compare to other things you've worked on?
No, I think what Lady May is saying is totally accurate. The demands are high.
Yeah,
like at least in Mexico, like the stakes were high. Like the amount of things that we were trying to accomplish required some difficulty.
And can I say one thing just about our show in Mexico was different than any other travel show we did because that one, A, it was in response to Trump, you know, doing some his usual shtick about other countries. So we went down to Mexico to respond to that. And then also we decided part of it was the name of the show was really made in Mexico. And so the idea was Conan was going to do the show in Mexico in front of a live Mexican audience and a studio audience with an all Mexican crew working in the studio, which is a travel show we never did before. We usually just go shoot things and bring them back and build them here. There, we went out and shot stuff and had to edit it in time to show it to that live audience in Mexico City.
At the end
of the week.
Yes.
So that did get handed. I mean, we had never done anything that ambitious. So was that, what was that like?
Yeah, I think all the challenges are pretty accomplishable because like it's not that hard. Once you have all the people being like super supportive, honestly, that's number one. Number two, Conan's name is so like,
once
besides,
you know it.
Besides me,
right.
Everybody knows him in Mexico. So people were very happy to open the doors for him and for his team.
Right.
And I think that helped very, very much.
Okay.
Yeah.
To get things done.
To get yeses.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
To get yeses. And once we got the positive answer, it was about just like putting the one-on-one together and making it happen. But Yeah, everything was accomplishable. And the things that weren't, the things that I found like very difficult, like the pyramids, you guys wanted to film in and it's, I know that it's impossible in Mexico to film with actors or presenters in front of camera. And I said it like, this is going to be like very hard. We're going to try, but this is going to be very hard. Mm-hmm. One of the many good things about your production team is that there's always an understanding of where the limitations can be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that was one very difficult thing to say.
Right.
This is impossible. Like the government didn't give us a yes.
But also we probably heard it was an hour away and we're like, okay, that's fine. Right. We don't want to drive an hour away.
Then we're like, whew, we dodged that bullet.
Yeah, but I think the fact that you guys are relaxed and understanding on what are the limitations is amazing because for other shows, like I've had crews that are completely different. It's like you make it happen because you have to make it happen.
Oh, wow.
Right.
And that's when the complications escalate. But in your case, we never.
So we should start acting like that, right?
Did they get like pricks?
Did they all get yeses?
Like
yes,
pricks. Like pricks. Yeah. Well, we cast such a wide net of things that we ask you to look into. You know, initially when we're kind of like generating ideas, there's just so many ideas and we know we won't have time for everything. So it's almost probably the opposite with us where we're having to then cancel things as we go along. And then we always feel so bad and guilty because we have to cancel on people constantly. Did we make you cancel on anybody?
Not me.
Okay.
Not me.
Okay.
No.
Yes, we did.
You're
Who did we cancel?
We canceled on the commercial that we were going to do. I don't know if you remember. Right. We were going to do the
at a brewery
for the Casa Perico. Yes, exactly.
Yes,
the
drink
that we were going to do, but it was just too much. The McBrown's Kitchen like was just way too long, and it was the first day, and everyone was tired. Mm-hmm. And we also cut short the studio session with Pommy Eugene because that was supposed to be on film, but then we made it like very short and then it was just straight to the music video.
Right.
So that was
because we still had to film an entire music. That's the other thing. Sometimes we'll be like, yeah, we'll just film a music video, a thing that normally takes weeks.
Right, right.
And we're like, we'll do it in an afternoon the way to something else.
2 hours.
Yeah. Well, Lady May, I was wondering, because Maritza mentioned that the Conan name opened some doors in Mexico.
Yes.
Was that at all true in Ghana? Did people know about Conan or did you have to explain who he was and what we were doing?
So some people knew about him. But the thing is, with Ghana, at that time, the year of return, we were getting a lot of media coverage from like black networks, from like, you know, so... In this way, it almost seemed like a new opportunity to open it up to an audience that wouldn't necessarily always like, you know, come to Ghana or see what Ghana is about. So that's, the government was excited about that.
Oh yeah. They were like, let's get the TBS audience.
And but the ambassador, oh my gosh, he was so happy. He was so happy because he knew because obviously we had the letter that Conan showed on screen, but he didn't know that it was going to be a whole thing with his photo and his. So he called me. He's like, "Why didn't you tell me? Everybody's calling me saying I'm on TV." it was pretty. Yeah. So that was
cool.
In that case. But then after it aired, then forget it. Like Conan everywhere.
Oh, really?
Conan, especially
really?
Like with the papaya stuff.
Oh.
That was huge. That
oh
went
my
viral,
God.
Actually. That clip of you talking about taking the shit show went viral.
Really?
On Ghana Twitter.
Oh my God.
Wow. Yes, it did.
Can I tell you, I just finished my last packet of Cheeto sauce. I know I was like, I probably shouldn't be keeping it this long. Yes. I had it in the fridge because I smuggled home so many packets.
Right.
It's the best.
Yeah, we love
and
that sauce.
I still haven't found, like, I know that there are some I can buy on Amazon, but it I don't think it's going to be the same. So I have to find a source.
I'll send you more.
Oh, that would make me so happy.
There's one for it.
And the podcast just paid off.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
It's all worth it.
And that's the whole reason I do this. Going back to, I guess, before that, Lady May, I mean, we heard about how you got into fixing, mm-hmm. that it was a little bit through us, but what kind of work were you doing before that that gave you the experience?
So I have like my little boutique agency where mm-hmm. I am a connector.
Yeah.
So I was kind of doing fixing, but not fixing. So for example, mostly like focusing on Ghana. Before the year of return, Ghana wasn't that much of a hotspot. And I was one of the few Ghanaians known in the industry, like mostly in music, like entertainment. Uh-huh. So when people like celebrities wanted to go to Ghana, they would reach out to my agency and we will curate the whole experience for them. So that would include, so not necessarily for TV. This is like personal trips.
Yeah.
So for example, like we worked with Solange when she was recording her album. She came to record it in Ghana, but she just wanted to be in Ghana. Mm. So we did everything like from flights, accommodation, just like making sure that everything was great. And then year of return came and now Ghana is its own Ghana is just everyone is in Ghana. Kamala just came back from Ghana.
Oh, yeah.
And also Sam Richardson, who is Ghanaian descent.
Yeah.
I think that was a big deal for him to go. He hadn't been back in a few years.
Yeah, that was
to see family that lived there.
His family, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. His segment at the castle was very emotional because he was like very emotional. So watching that, because I'm obviously from Ghana, but I grew up in Ghana.
Yeah.
So seeing him from Ghana, but then, you know, growing up here and just knowing what other like African Americans feel, like he has a closer relationship to that than I do. So seeing it through his eyes, I was like, whoa, that's deep. So yeah, that was great having him there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it really was, I mean, that kind of encapsulated the year of return and what that was all about. And put it into focus for me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And honestly, your show brought a different audience because they're a group of people that say, oh, you know, we watched the Conan show and like we had no idea about Ghana.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what like the government was excited about because it's like, it's just, I mean, if you do, you know, maybe go on like other Black networks, Ghana pops up.
Yeah.
But then it's like for this one, it was new. So that was great. So,
It's so funny. Like now I love Ghana so much. Like I was watching last season of Ted Lasso and one of the players was like, he gets visited. Oh, I think Sam Richardson plays someone from Ghana.
Oh, I haven't seen that season yet.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
And I just got super excited seeing him always, also just like, I'm like, he's from Ghana.
Yeah. I've been there. I think that's a very amazing thing that these kind of shows do and people like don't necessarily see like deep into and I really adore. Like when you have a celebrity like Conan coming to a place that is regarded as dangerous or in the case when you guys came to Mexico, it was being like poorly seen by a group of people in not only America, but in other parts of the world.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, not just one, a bunch.
A lot of the people that listen to him. Yeah.
When you have this bad reputation in a country and you have someone traveling, someone like Conan, someone so big traveling and being safe and having fun and meeting the people, the actual people. Building connections, seeing the humanity behind the reputation. It has a beautiful effect on the reputation of the country and like tourism peaks after that. Like I can see it. And like sometimes when a segment on a show goes like very big, I can see like a wave of replication like coming from other shows. I want to do something similar to what this show did. Like after you guys left, I had this Australian show contacting me to work with Cassandro.
Oh, really?
Oh, so, wow. Oh my God. And we did a whole thing with Cassandro. So,
well, I just was reading some, there's like a movie, right? About
Yeah. Gael Garcia just came out with a movie.
He's a lucha libre.
Yeah. Yes. Haven't watched it, but they say that Gael did amazing. And Cassandro is such an amazing human being.
Yeah, with a really cool story.
So, yeah, I think that's something that as a national, I have to thank amazing shows like yours for what you do for the country that I come from. Because it's like elevating. Like you don't notice that you're just having fun and doing things that are fun and entertaining. But at the same time, you're creating something very positive that sometimes is overseen.
I'm going to replay the clip of you saying that as I go to bed. And be like, okay, no, I'm doing something okay with my life.
No, that was that was a special week because we really were working with, like I mentioned before, the Mexican television studio crew. So you really did feel like it was this larger scale joint effort than we're normally used to when we travel. Like when we're in Ghana, we're literally, it's just our crew. And then Lady May coordinating everything. So it's a very, you know, it was different in Mexico.
More intimate.
Just, a big group of people we got to work with. It was very special.
Well, I was wondering, I mean, you kind of bring up a point. How much pressure do you feel as like sort of ambassadors to your countries to like, oh, I want to make sure that the best version of things get shown and like... And also, and I mean, you know, we wanted this feedback, but I don't know if every production does, but if we don't want to do something that's going to look ignorant on our part or, and like, it's probably a little difficult to step up and say something if you're like, I don't think that is coming off the way you think it is or, you know.
Maritza doesn't have a problem. I don't. She doesn't lie. No.
I just say it straightforward.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a really good skill though.
That is good skill.
Yeah.
I have, I was talking to a girl that does some stuff for me in Mexico still. Mm-hmm. And she was telling me, this crew wants to come and film with the Zonkeys in Tijuana, which are these donkeys that are painted like zebras. And it's been very, a lot of people from the city are fighting this horrible tradition because it's a lot of animal exploitation there. Yeah. And I was like, let's try to have them avoid filming them because it's not the kind of representation that we want to have. Yes, we know it exists.
Yeah.
And you can talk about it, but talk about it in the light of like the way the majority of the people in the city sees them. Like, don't like...
Right.
That it's exploitative and not be like part of the exploitation.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Don't help more exploitation come.
Yeah. Right. By just showing it straight up.
I had a crew, I'm not going to say from where or what, but
BBC.
The producer was asking me, I saw the script and we were filming in a beautiful location in the jungle in Mexico. And the script said, and the presenter goes through some like areas of bandidos. I'm like,
is that in the jungle?
yes, he's going to go through some areas that are not very safe of Mexico. But is that really the sensationalism that you want to put in the project?
Right.
Or can you elevate it a little bit? Because when you reach the location where you're filming, that people leaves out of the tourism.
Yeah.
Right.
And if you're going to say like, we're going to a very dangerous place.
Right.
Who's going to try to come?
Right.
Like, instead of saying like, be safe. If you ever visit this amazing place with amazing people, be safe on the way there, but once you make it, it's nice. Or something different.
Don't make up a story just to make the show more interesting.
Exactly.
Right. We had a similar thing when we were planning. I think Bono or something had like his organization or something that he was working with in Ghana. And he wanted us to do something about it. And it's a great organization, but I think it's owned by Americans. Mm-hmm. So I was a little bit worried about that, like just how that will come off, because right. you also don't want it to have that like savior mentality that, you right. know, you came right. all the way to Ghana to highlight an American yes. company. And when, and I was a little bit nervous, obviously it was my first time. I want the team to be happy mm-hmm. and I'm dealing with my own imposter syndrome. So yeah. I was like, I went to Jason and I'm like, I don't think this is the move.
Yeah.
And
you had to trust your instincts.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And, you guys handled it. You're just like, okay, cool. Like maybe no. we'll do something separate, but yeah.
We were so grateful to you.
Yes.
Because we don't want to,
we don't want to look
so
dumb.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Just, right. yeah. And it's like, oh, it's based in Illinois.
Right, right.
Okay, well, I'm glad we got the word out. And
Ghana Bono wasn't
it.
Even going to be there.
Yeah.
So who cares?
So
what's the point? Yeah.
Not even The Edge or Larry Mullins Jr. So no, that, and that's the kind of, you know, that the local knowledge is so yes. helpful. Mm-hmm. It's
yeah,
it's
and they, those can be really subtle distinctions too. Mm-hmm. Like you say, Lady May, it can, you know, it's just a little, it's a little bit off and you just want to know like, okay, this yeah. is just, this yeah. might play in the US, but it's not going to play well in Ghana.
Right.
Yeah.
You do
right.
kind of, I mean, yeah. it's a stretch, but you do kind of want people who are watching it, if they're watching that country, not yeah. be like, oh my God.
Yeah, eye roll.
Right,
yes.
Right.
yeah.
At least not more than 8 times.
right.
I think in that aspect, because I was suggested to watch some of the clips of the show before uh-huh. coming here just to have it fresh in my mind. And I was also reading some of the emails just to remember a little bit mm-hmm, of mm-hmm. the planning that we were doing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And at least in 10 emails, I have the question, is this okay, Maritza?
right,
is this going to come across like
yes.
rude?
Yeah.
Is this going to be funny?
Yeah.
and well, I think, honestly, that's
in God's hands.
but that's yeah. so amazing because you guys are respectful. You were like, honestly, like,
well, we need a lot of validation too.
Yeah. yeah.
We're very
consideration.
Needy in every email.
because even on the way to the palace, uh-huh. The gifts that we took, like we had a ram, right?
Yeah.
But then it's like, people thought it was a joke. They're like, no, for real. Like
right.
this
yeah.
is a gift
right.
for the royal family. Like we're not joking. It's yeah. like legit. That's what they wanted. And alcohol and mm-hmm. liquor.
Right,
so
right.
That's what it is. So yeah.
That was our only time meeting royalty was
yeah.
in Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
And we flew up yes. with Lady May to the palace.
In yeah. Kumasi.
In Kumasi and
yeah.
met the Queen Mother.
Yes.
Which was exciting.
I know. I was
yeah.
nervous about it.
I was terrified.
Because we were getting called up individually.
I know. That was interesting. Because when we went inside the room, they were all just sitting down and watching TV.
Yeah.
Right.
So, right? Like they were watching some show. And then we come in and they're like, okay, you know, we presented what we had to uh-huh. do, all the gifts.
Right.
And then we had to go one by one.
And the TVs were still on, I think.
They were still on. Yeah. It was very yeah. hot in there too.
Right.
Yeah. No AC. No, yeah. And then it's, yeah. So that was interesting.
They were saying thank you while still looking up at the TV
yeah,
screen.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, this is great.
Like, I don't want to miss this plot point.
Just put that over there.
right.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lady May, earlier you were talking about mm-hmm. that you were curating experiences mm-hmm. for some American music celebrities. Mm-hmm. And that mm-hmm. brought up an interesting thing that I wanted to talk to both of you about, which is the sort of off duty aspect of your job where it's maybe we're not, it's not for the show that we're filming, but you often do get a lot of questions about like, oh, we need to now book a reservation for dinner for 20 people. And, right. and you're having to coordinate like lunches and sometimes people even have individual needs that they're like, oh, I need to go buy a gift for my wife or something. And it's like, help me with this.
So I just want to on the record.
I wasn't looking at you.
I have never asked. I don't even ask to be fed. Yeah.
No, you don't.
That was actually like some of my favorite parts of the trip especially the camera crew that like they didn't have a lot of opportunity to go out and change money. Mm-hmm. Remember? So it's like I had Eunice, my right-hand girl.
Oh, I love you.
Just like collect dollars from everyone. Uh-huh. And then we'll just go and change money. Yeah. And then I remember when we went to Kumasi after like the Golden Tulip segment, we went to the market and I was just like helping everyone buy stuff for their kids. Right, right. And I was like, this is the best. Like it's because I know, I mean, I'm a woman, I kind of know, but then also I know how to haggle. So
that's so nice to have a personal haggler on hand.
Yeah, but I almost got in trouble. I don't think you guys know this, but when we were doing on Oxford Street, remember when Conan was dancing with the passion fruit lady?
Yeah.
Okay. So then after I had to pay her.
Mm, yeah.
Yes.
Because so he put them in down his pants, if I recall.
Yes. Right. We took them. So I had to go and pay for them. Mm-hmm. And the prices that they were saying were just ridiculous. And I was like, no.
They were smart.
But she's like, but I danced with him. I danced. And all that. I was like, okay, it's fine. But
crotch. Then it's like.
There was like almost a mob that came like, hey, why are you trying to like, you know, stop our money? I was like, okay.
Oh, really?
You guys had already gone down.
We're long gone.
Yeah, but. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. You had to kind of play both sides on that one.
Right. Exactly. Well,
man, just fork the money over.
Yeah. Maritza, do you remember any... Do you have any memories from us asking for weird requests?
Not weird requests. What happened? Dentist? Remember Conan needed a dentist?
My God.
He got...
Right.
What? So something happened to him. And well, at the end, he got a recommendation for a very good one. And and we got that sorted out. And just shopping. I think we went shopping. It was fun. We all went together.
Mm-hmm. I didn't go shopping.
You didn't come. I remember.
I did a lot of shopping. Every country.
I was on like a different trip. Shopping, haggling for shopping.
You were probably swimming.
Changing lucky dollars to the local currency. I missed all that action. Do you have any like really, well, either with us or other anonymous crew, like just dramatic or just moments where you're like, oh my God, is this going to backfire or will this thing that's planned, is it going to go off as planned or just kind of near disasters or disasters that come to mind? No.
I remember near disasters I've had a few. I think one of the most challenging was filming for an Australian show that we were doing, a cooking show throughout the country. And we were going to this, ghost town in San Luis Potosí State. Uh-huh. And to get there, you're going through the desert and it's a very steep road, dirt road. Oh, and we're going, you know, in like these 15 passenger vans loaded with gear, 15 pass vans loaded with gear and people. And all of a sudden the transmission breaks and we're like in the absolute middle of the desert, nowhere. And that was like, what am I going to do here? I climb on top of one of the vents and got one little bar of signal. And in this town, they have these like old wheelies, you know, the kind of like Jeeps. By chance, because we wanted to film with one of them, I had the number. So I was able to call them and like five wheelies came and we loaded the wheelies with like all the gear and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah, fun things like, the end result ends up being funny.
Right.
But in the moment, there's like, there's panic. A lot of pressure for...
Did they film the breakdown or no?
Yeah, I think at the end, we got a lot of pictures. Yes.
But also...
The first day of filming in Ghana, We went to Makola Market.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I don't know if you remember, but then they were like booing us when we were walking through.
Oh, yeah.
And they're so, and I'm like, oh my, like, what is this trip about? Booing. Like, I was just so, I was like, oh my God, I was so nervous. But then when we were coming back, they were cheering and then they were dancing with Conan. So word got around that we were good people. Like, it wasn't like we're just coming to exploit or what, because it's like they see a bunch of people with big cameras. They're like, oh, what now? And then after, when they found out that we were like with the Makola Queen and everything, and that was, that also went a little bit wrong. I don't know if you remember, like, she was trying to like do something about like building. She wanted us to like raise money to build something, and she took us somewhere for a while. So that whole Makola thing was a little bit of a nightmare in its own. But then, it ended up, you know, coming together at the end.
And the booing, I'm so used to booing, I don't even hear it. So that's but the cheering part.
It's a gray noise. Yes.
Well, yeah, that must have been, you must have thought like, oh, is this, was this a bad idea? You know, it's like, is this how it's going to be everywhere? Yeah.
Exactly. I was just so... like, what is going on?
Did you, either of you, have to deal with, because one thing we've talked to Jason Chalemi about is that, especially if Conan does a market segment, like, he'll pick things up and then, you know, and he'll want to buy things and we kind of have to go along behind, like,
paying
and sweeping up. Yeah. Do you have any memories of us doing that?
I don't think we went together to a market. We went together in downtown, and that was my first date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think because of my ignorance on like the fame of Conan, I was not aware, or I never imagined the amount of people we were going to have on that con and on the street. Yeah.
By the plaza. And by the time we,
by the time we were like on the, like the very last area where he stationed and started trying to ask for money, the amount of people we had around, I was like getting a bit nervous, and I was, I kept looking at James, our safe security guy.
And
we just like, just keep your eyes like open.
Yeah.
And
it's part of your job. Keep those eyes on, I guess. It was that day anyway. But yeah, well, it was also social media, because Aaron was live posting streaming where he was. And then there were people who were like, I traveled.
I
saw
side.
It and I just got in my car and drove here, you know.
Yes.
I killed three pedestrians getting here to see Conan.
Five peaches.
Would that drive you, both of you, crazy the way, because we tend to shoot stuff, we're out shooting all day, like, we got XYZ today, what do we want to do tomorrow? And sometimes we change everything around. Would that... Yeah. Was that kind of a nightmare, like just having to move everything around?
I just remember that at some point, every time I saw you walking towards me, I was just like, trying to hide.
That happens here in America, too. It happens in my house. Oh my God. Hi, honey, I'm home.
What is it?
Boo. I hear the booing and my wife.
What is it now?
Away.
But
so,
I have a,
welcome to the family.
I do have a great story about that,
because
you went one of the night before we went to Kumasi, you guys went out to a club, like a nightclub or something.
Oh, yeah.
And you met like some expats and stuff like that. But I didn't go. Eunice and I and my crew, we didn't
working.
Go.
Yeah.
So then at the at the airport, when we were waiting to get on the plane to go to Kumasi, I see you and Jose walking towards me. I'm like, oh boy. So then you guys, so Jose comes to me and then you're like,
Jose's,
you know,
one of the writers.
Yes. And then he was like, you know, we met up with some expats yesterday and we just think it will be so cool to do a segment with like American, like Black Americans living in Ghana and just their experience, or maybe some people visiting. And I was just like, okay, we can make that happen. And I'm just like, so then I call Eunice. I'm like, how are we going to do this? Like, what, like, where can we get people? And it was just by luck that when we went to Kumasi at Golden Tulip, all these people were there.
There was like a whole school.
From Chicago.
Yeah.
It was
from
a church group.
Oh, but it was a church group.
I think, that was visiting.
And they, And I was just like, so I was sitting by Jose. I'm like, do you see what I see? Like, yeah. This is a prayer answered.
Yes.
And we were able, like, that was, because I don't know how we were going to be able to make that happen.
Right.
Wow.
But it happened. Yeah. So.
Oh, that's great. And that segment was one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, it was so good.
It was good.
Yeah. Yeah. And Golden Tulip almost made us not. Like record. They're like, yeah, no, you can't film here.
Oh, that was resort. You, like, right.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So we kind of went outside and did it.
Exactly. So yeah. We had to do it at the gazebo. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So me walking toward you isn't always bad. Sometimes it turns out
bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
You just hold your breath, hold your nose, hope it works out.
Yeah.
Like, until the tall, skinny, creepy guy goes away. And I always do. I always leave.
Do you have any memories, Maritza, of last minute changes we made or that we...
No, honestly, I don't think you did anything...
We didn't do anything wrong.
Like
wow.
that yeah. in Mexico.
How do you like that? So when I walked toward you, that was... It wasn't
pleasant.
It was pleasant. Okay. Yeah.
No, I think we had to be more scheduled there because of... having to finish the segments and edit them
I think because some things were so planned.
Yeah.
Like the Lucha Libre, we had to request the gym and the wrestlers and like everything had to be together.
Yes.
The quinceañera, we couldn't move it, right? Because it was, that was done by the family.
That was
That
was surreal going to a family's
And they were kind.
They were. And that was such a cool party.
Into their, this personal
as
party.
As family.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I remember the cake being really good. That's kind of my only memory. Yeah.
and they gave Conan these like table of honor, like next to the quinceañera.
Right, yeah.
It was amazing.
That was crazy.
But just saying these things out loud, I'm like, what a life we've had. It's pretty cool.
How do you guys not laugh? That's like one thing that I always, because I would be losing, especially the Cali Boss one.
Yeah.
I was dying. No, I had to go to the back because I was laughing so hard and I would look at you and Jesse and you're just like looking at the screen like nothing. Yeah, like, wait, are we seeing the same thing?
Well, we're trying to not laugh because we always have to edit ourselves out of it when we laugh. So we know by now. Yeah.
Conan, if you don't, he
wants you to laugh a little.
You're kind of his audience a bit.
Yeah.
So if we're just looking grim, then he thinks, this isn't going
well.
It's
not good.
I know. We have to sort of master the silent laugh. Yeah, like, that's just with your shoulders.
Right.
Yeah.
But right behind camera, so he feels
it. Exactly. No, but I mean, I'm always laughing. I'm always think it's really funny. It's you have to stifle the laughter, almost like a sneeze. You have to keep it inside.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated. You both live in the United States now.
Right.
Maritza, you live here in Los Angeles, which is why you're here.
Yes.
With us. And Lady May, you're up in Portland, Oregon. How long have you been up
there? Yeah, I live in Portland since 2021.
Okay.
So I was in Ghana. So during COVID, I got stuck in Ghana because they closed the borders.
Oh my
gosh. So I left from Japan just to go to Ghana for just like, you know, I was going to see my parents have fun a little bit.
Yeah.
And then COVID came and they closed the borders. So I was there for like 8 months. And after I thought the world was coming to an end and Portland was always on my bucket list, I said, you know what? I'm moving to Portland. So I just went straight from Ghana to Portland.
Oh,
I got an Airbnb for like 3 months. And then after I just got my own place. So I've been here since then.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
So are you a fixer in Portland now? You're inviting people.
No.
Invite us to do a show up there.
So the main reason I was telling Jesse, the main reason I came here was because obviously I'm obsessed with Fred Armisen and Portlandia.
Obviously.
So that was the main reason I moved here. But then I also wanted to get into the cannabis industry. So then I came here and I'm just doing a lot of research so that once it is legal in Ghana, I will have.
Oh, you'll be there on the ground floor. I know. How do I invest in your company?
Maritza, did you move here because of the marijuana industry?
Not entirely. Okay. Just partially.
Just as a hobby.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maritza, are you still coordinating production in Mexico?
Not as much. Mm-hmm. Not as much. I do like every now and then some jobs come for Mexico. Mm-hmm. And if I like the subject, I will take it. But I'm trying to dedicate my life more towards like line producing here.
Okay.
And I've been doing stuff here for American audiences.
Many years.
American careers. Yeah. Well, I came here like right before the pandemic.
Uh-huh.
Right. And I was like actually in touch with Jason because we were prepping for something different.
Uh-huh.
And I moved here in 2018, I think. Yeah. Right. No, 19 oh, in uh-huh. November, right before the pandemic. And then right. they closed the border in March. So I was stuck here.
We were prepping to go to Argentina.
Right.
Yes, exactly. And we were prepping.
We were supposed to go the week of
after
COVID. Everything shut down.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's and then I was stuck here because Mexico also closed the borders and I couldn't go to Mexico even when it's like 2 hours away from here.
Yeah.
Because it was they were only allowing how you call them, the essential workers to go across the border, the land border.
Right.
So I was stuck here for like a year.
Wow.
So the pandemic, it seems like really affected both of your careers and where
in different ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we have to wrap up.
Yeah.
You both are amazing. And it's so good to see. I know it went by really fast. And I really, truly hope we get to work with you again on something.
Likewise. Both of you. Yeah.
Right. A tour of Portland.
That would be amazing.
Yes.
Tour of where you live in LA.
Yeah.
Right.
Any kind of cannabis venture.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Good luck with
I know.
Taking over the cannabis
market.
The community got very excited when one of the last episodes when Conan actually smoked a joint.
Oh, right.
Oh, that was exciting for me too. Because we've been trying to get him to do that for a long time.
I was his next to last show, I think, with Seth Rogen on the TBS show. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was exciting.
So cannabis Twitter went off for that.
Yeah, I'm acting like a weed head, but I'm not really. But yeah, we were just like, yay.
Yeah. No, you're an investor.
You're a weed business head, which is a totally different.
Yes. Weed business head.
Yeah.
Well, Maritza and Lady May, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
What a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks. Great to see you again.
Yeah, it was great.
Thank you to Lady May and Maritza for joining us. It was great talking to them.
It was.
Yeah.
I know. It was cool to see them really connect over the job.
Yes.
And
maybe they'll join forces.
I know. I wonder if they texted each other afterwards and were like, oh.
Oh, my God.
Those two.
Ugh.
When are we going to be free?
We should mention what's going on in the Team Coco universe.
We should. I'm so glad you brought that up.
Well, yeah, it's just something that crossed my mind.
Yeah.
While reading this piece of paper in front of me. Perusing it.
Well, hit me with it.
Well, no, the Team Coco podcast, Parks and Recollection.
I'm familiar. Yeah.
It's back for season two.
Basically us, but for Parks and Rec.
Right. And they have new hosts, Jim O'Hare, who played Jerry on the show.
Of course, Jerry.
And one of the show writers, Greg Levine.
Cool.
And you know how wonderful they are as hosts.
I know. I love when writers
show writers. Come
podcasts.
On. Get them in front of the mic.
Well, and I'm now going to jump on board with this paper in front of me and say that this season, they're going to continue to recap the popular comedy series Parks and Rec with guests like Jason Matsoukas, Chelsea Peretti, and Rob Lowe himself.
Be sure to check it out.
I will. Oh, hey, guess what? We have a listener question.
Okay. Hi, Mike and Jesse. I love your podcast, and I was fortunate enough to see a live taping of Late Night on December 12th, 2008. Wow, Don Rickles was the guest. Oh, wow, I still have my ticket stubbed.
Aww.
I think he was only on Late Night twice, Don Rickles.
Oh, my gosh. That was a special
It was very special when he was there. Oh, my God. All the writers poured into his dressing room.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
And just praying for an insult.
Yes.
And he knows, like, he knows.
Did he distribute them? Okay.
He's like
He knows
what tricks he has to do. It's like, look at you. And it was literally like getting a treat. And then after each insult, you'd like turn and walk out.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, yeah. It was,
that's so great.
Sorry. There's more to this.
Oh, okay. That wasn't more the to question. This
email. Here we go. On your podcast and others, I frequently hear you mention submitting a writing packet to a show when you were trying to get hired. Yes, we have mentioned that. Mm-hmm. I was curious to find out what exactly is in a writing packet. Is it just a bunch of scripts or ideas for bits or a list of characters? How long are they? Is there a standard format or does it vary from show to show? These are all really good questions.
Yes.
And I don't think we've talked about this in a very long time.
Yeah.
Submissions. Thanks and keep up the great work. And 15 exclamation marks.
Oh my God.
Don Cucuzella. Cucuzella. Oh, thank you.
We say
Don
that right?
Cucuzella from Burlington, New Jersey, home of the Burlington Coat Factory, I believe.
Is it? Oh, yeah.
I believe so. Leather Coat Factory used to be there.
Wow.
I grew up there in New Jersey.
Send us some coats, Don.
Yeah. Yeah, Don, get busy with the coats and we'll answer your
That's
question
your writing
in return.
Packet. Yeah, no, this is a great question.
Mm.
And I mean, it's been a while since I submitted a late night packet,
yeah.
But I did submit a lot of them back
did you?
In the day. Yeah.
To a lot of different shows?
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, they were all different.
And what
the
are
requirements.
Your, I think that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The doing multiple submissions. So what was your what's your advice in terms of like doing it for more than one show?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean you have to really get to know the show and
right.
So that is hard if you're not already a fan.
Right.
So the shows that you already watch and you're a fan of are probably the ones you're most likely to get hired on.
That's true. Because obviously there's already a natural affinity there.
Yeah. And so you know the tone and you mm-hmm. know some of the inside mm-hmm. jokes. But the requirements are always different. I mean, I remember one of the hardest packets I ever put together was The Daily Show. And it was, I think it may have changed now, but you had to not only write punchlines, but you also had to craft the whole news story and find clips to go along. Find news clips to back up your sort of narrative.
What?
Yeah.
This sounds like a college exam.
It was really hard. You had to screen a lot of different news.
And so you had to send links and everything?
Yeah, with links and time codes. I know.
Wow.
And then also it had to be funny.
Right.
So they may now provide those links. I think that is something that has changed.
And ask you to work something up around those links.
Yes.
Oh, I think I'd like that better.
Yeah, I know. That part, because I spent so long doing mm-hmm. the research that mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God. I was like, I'm a real journalist.
Right. No, I
forgot
always,
how to be funny.
I like when someone gives you an assignment and mm-hmm. kind of gives you some parameters to go off of. Otherwise,
yes. There's just too many
it's
options.
Too many options, and it's hard to know how to dig in.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I've done other shows where mm-hmm. they do like a whole week of submission where you have to submit monologue jokes every day
right,
for a week.
Right. That is exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
The whole world of writing monologue jokes, I don't think people like viewers necessarily realize, like I would just love to tell them that like, oh yeah, our four monologue writers would total around 150 jokes
yes.
a day.
Yes.
And they're
to get five to 10. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that
mm-hmm.
That blew my mind when I first learned about that.
Yeah.
And it's just a little mind boggling.
Yeah. I remember I had sent some monologue jokes to one of your former monologue writers, Berkeley Johnson.
Berkeley,
and,
yeah.
And I said, you know, I needed to have like 50. And I think I sent him exactly 50.
Uh-huh.
And he circled maybe 15. And
right.
I was like, okay.
That's
now,
fantastic.
Yeah. But at the time I was devastated because I thought,
right.
oh God.
Right.
Now I have to write 35 more.
Right,
but
right,
not
right.
35 more. I'd have to write, you know, 600 more
right.
to get 35.
Yes, yes.
I know. And I think it's something you have to do every day, even in anticipation of a packet
mm-hmm.
submission,
mm-hmm.
you should just be writing jokes every day if that's what you want to do.
Yes, it's a muscle.
It's a muscle. And then you also are maybe out of the jokes you write every day, you're going to have a handful that you can
right.
then use for the packet.
But then you need the voice, as you mentioned, you need that host's voice.
Yeah.
And man, oh man. No, but you really do need to watch the show and get the sense of the rhythm and yes. get that voice. Because having read like hundreds of submissions, yeah. you just know right away whether someone's kind of hitting the voice right or not.
Yeah, and I'm sure you can speak to that. And we've talked before on the show about people that would have the wrong name left in from,
yes, that's my, from a different submission. Favorite.
Yeah, so it would say Jimmy.
Yeah, they did the...
Yeah.
It was always Jimmy.
It's a always lot of Jimmy.
Jimmy, yeah. Like, and they'd be all the Conans, but they'd miss one Jimmy. Mm-hmm. One Jimmy, just it only takes one Jimmy.
One control F, yeah.
Yeah.
And for our packet, when when I submitted, some monologue jokes and sketch pitches.
Uh-huh.
And they were not supposed to be full sketch scripts, but it was a pitch.
It was always just, I'm sure every show is different, but we were always just like, send 10 new ideas for the show in paragraph form.
Yes.
And with, you know, like a few sentences to help sell it. So like... Mm-hmm. You'd give the premise and maybe one or two jokes.
Some beats, yeah.
Yeah, some people would just write like two sentences.
Yeah.
And with nothing really to support
without the comedy.
And
you're, yeah.
Without the comedy part. Or people would try to show off that they knew the show really well by like referring to like writers we used in
really
sketches
specific.
By first name.
Uh-huh.
And they were overly familiar in a way where it's like, oh no, like you're using the personal two form. Yeah, but you, it's just a little, it was just a little off-putting.
Too. Yeah.
It's very subtle.
Yeah. Or it would be like Conan's wife's name or something.
Yes. Yes. Something a little invasive or almost not
too big of a fan. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you've got to tone that down a bit too.
Yeah, it's a fine line.
Right. And you better hurry because there won't be late night shows in like 3 years.
I know. Well, there aren't
there
now. I don't know.
I don't know.
Also, we've been talking about how late night was going to die for, I think, the entirety of this podcast.
Yes.
It hasn't.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it'll go on forever, Dan.
We'll see. So
Don,
get those packets in.
Get them in.
And hey, if you have a question for us, like Don, or, you know, just compliments, we'll accept those. Give us a call at 323-209-1079. You just have to leave a voicemail. No one's going to answer. Or email us at insideconanpod@gmail.com.
And if you like the show, you can support us by rating Inside Conan an Important Hollywood Podcast on iTunes. And leaving us a review.
Ah, I guess that's it.
Well, no, I can talk about submissions some more.
Okay. No. We love you. We love you.
Okay, goodbye.
Inside Conan, an Important Hollywood Podcast, is hosted by Mike Sweeney and me, Jesse Gaskell.
Our producer is Lisa Burr.
Team Coco's executive producers are Adam Sachs, Jeff Ross, and Nick Liao.
Engineered and mixed by Joanna Samuel.
Our talent bookers are Gina Batista and Paula Davis with assistance from Maddie Ogden.
Thanks to Jimmy Vivino for our theme music and interstitials.
You can rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts.
And of course, please subscribe and tell a friend to listen to Inside Conan or an enemy on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or whatever platform you like best.
I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Put on your hat, it's the Conan Show. Try on some spats, you're gonna have a laugh. Give birth to a calf, it's Conan!
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.